Good morning.
Let's turn to Matthew chapter 18. And we'll read from verses 21 to 35. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything.' And the Lord of that slave felt compassion, and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, 'Pay back what you owe.' So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you.' But he was willing and went back and threw him in prison until he should pay back. But he was willing and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his lord said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you?' And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We just pray, Lord, for your revelation, God, and for wisdom. Just for your wisdom to be revealed to us, God. And we thank you for this time where we can gather, Lord. We can gather as a community where we can pray together, we can worship together, we can receive your word in community. We thank you. We pray these things in your son's most precious name. Amen. All right. So this passage starts off with Peter asking Jesus how many times that he should forgive his brother. He's saying, "Lord, should I forgive him seven times? How many times do I do it?" And we often have this question: how many times do we forgive someone that harms us? Do we do it up until a certain point where we say, "All right, enough is enough, and I'm going to start taking my own action and my own vengeance"? And Jesus responds to Peter by saying 70 times seven. Initially, I always thought this meant 490 times, because 70 times 7 is 490. But it's actually, it doesn't mean a literal 70 times 7, 490, but it's just without end. You forgive people without end. And Jesus goes on to highlight how this forgiveness plays out. But what's interesting in this, the first two verses, 21 and 22, it actually goes back to, all the way back to Genesis chapter 4. You don't have to turn there. But I'll read it to you guys. Genesis 4, verses 23 to 24. Lamech said to his wives, Adah and Zillah, "Listen to my voice, you wives of Lamech. Give heed to my speech, for I have killed a man for wounding me, and a boy for striking me. If Cain is avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. So what Jesus is doing is actually reversing this, in some ways, a curse that Lamech places on anyone, on the entire world, if they were to harm him. And he's actually taking, if in 24, verse 24, Lamech says, if Cain is avenged 70-fold. So we all know that Cain left Adam and Eve after he killed Abel, and he wandered, and he was afraid that someone would kill him because of what he had done. So God actually promised him, saying that, therefore, in Genesis 4, verse 15, so the Lord said to him, "Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord appointed a sign for Cain so that no one finding him would slay him. So God is actually saying, if anyone were to harm you because you're afraid, I will still protect you. And vengeance will be taken upon whoever harms you sevenfold. And so Lamech, taking this, what God has promised Cain, actually takes it upon himself, begins to say, you know what, God, I don't think what you said, actually what God said doesn't really apply to anyone but Cain, because he's saying to Cain, I will protect you because you are afraid. Now, God does protect everyone, but this specific promise is for Cain. But Lamech takes this and says, whoever, you know, Cain is going to be avenged sevenfold, but whoever harms me, I'm going to avenge them 77-fold. I'm going to pay back what they did to me infinitely. And here we see that this actually isn't what God had intended. You know, a lot of times we say, or someone harms us, someone does something to us, and we're like, oh, I'm going to pay them back. Or we might not say it out loud, but inside there's something inside of us that says, you know, if this ever happened to me again, or if this person does this, I'm going to think up of all these scenarios, some things that I can say to them, things that I can do to them. I always actually did that with my brother. We had a very contentious relationship growing up, and I remember one time my wallet actually went missing, and I'm like, where's my wallet? There's no reason why my wallet would be anywhere. And then my brother goes, oh, I found it. Like, I asked around the house, I asked my mom, I asked my brother, like, have you seen my wallet? Like, where did it go? And my brother comes back like 15 minutes later and is like, oh, I found it in the car. I'm like, what? I didn't even drive back then. So I'm like, why did you take my wallet and put it in the car? I'm like, I didn't take your wallet and put it in my car. And so that irked me so much that he wouldn't own up to his lie. And I have no idea to this day why he took my wallet and brought it in the car. Now you might say, Andrew, you have no proof that you brought it in his car, but that's what I'm going to stay with. So anyways, I was thinking like in my head, like, man, if anything like this ever happened again, what would I do to him? How would I call him out? How would I tattle on him? How would I, you know, do all these things to take my revenge upon him? And actually in Matthew, what Jesus is saying about forgiving your brother 77 or 70 times 7, he's actually reversing what Lamech said. You know, it's not up to you to decide what the punishment is. For God says, vengeance is mine. Because if you notice in Genesis, when he's promising Cain, because vengeance will be taken, he's saying, I will take vengeance on whoever harms you. It's not you, but I am the one that repays sevenfold. It's not you that decides what vengeance is. And besides, who better, if you think about it, who better to take vengeance for us than God? Now, he knows everything, so he can see everything from all angles, and he knows how to, you know, this is a bad way of putting it, but he knows, or he understands how best to, everybody's weak spot, right? Because he knows all of us. He knows all of us intimately, so he knows the things that we struggle with. So if he wanted to, right? He knows how to really get to us. And in some ways, that's kind of what conviction is, right? He's like, oh, shoot, God knows exactly what I'm thinking. And he speaks to, he doesn't, you know, drive a knife into you. Well, in some ways he does, because he takes the sword of the Spirit, and pierces through bone. I forgot the verse. But the word of God just pierces straight through to our hearts, into our convictions. And he really speaks to us and like, hey, you know, with this idea of forgiveness, he goes, hey, maybe you should forgive because you yourself have experienced so much forgiveness. So that's just verses 21 to 22. And he continues on to say in verse 23, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. So basically what he's saying, the kingdom of heaven is actually based on forgiveness. We have a slave that, as the king wants to settle his accounts, that this slave is found owing 10,000 talents. Now, a talent was worth more than 15 years of wages for a laborer. And so this is what the slave was, a laborer. And so what's 15 times 10,000? 150,000? Is that? I need my calculator. Don't worry. Finance with the church is good. But you look at it, 10,000 talents, 150,000 years worth of labor that he owes, or a debt that he needs to pay back. And he's brought before the king, and it says very clearly, but since he did not have the means to repay, it's not that he didn't have a bank account or savings to cover it, is that there's no way for him to actually earn enough money to pay back this debt. There is no way that he could work. He couldn't take on three jobs. He couldn't invest in Bitcoin or whatever cryptocurrency that you decide to invest in. But there's no way he could do it. And so the king goes, you know, sell him along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment until repayment had been made. But if you think about it, 150,000 years worth of labor, there's no way you can pay that off. Right. Like, even if, you know, you look all throughout history, I mean, there's debate as to how old the earth is, but let's just start from Abraham, right? Abraham to us now is around, 4,000 something odd years. That's a safe number to say, right? 4,000 years. This is saying 150,000 years. All the money that's been made, that you can make working 4,000 years, is not even 25% of the length of, you know, not recorded human history, but that's a very long time. So when Jesus says that he had no means to repay, he really had no means to repay. And this goes to say something about sin. Now, in our lives, we're sinful in our nature. And there's nothing that we can do to repay. No amount of work that we can do, no amount of penitence that we can pay, no amount of money that, you know, we can pay to the Catholic Church to rescue someone out of purgatory. I've been studying about purgatory in school, so that's why I threw that in. So upon coming before the king, the slave goes, oh man, have patience with me. Have patience with me. And I will repay you everything. Now this slave knows, he's not a dummy. This slave knows and understands that he can't repay 150,000 years worth of wages. He can't pay 10,000 talents. And yet he goes, have patience with me. And as I was reading this, this one particular verse stood out to me. And I think God was saying, you know, this is the attitude that we have a lot of the times when we approach God for forgiveness, where we're like, have patience with me. You know, I can do better, and I can, you know, I'll do this. I'll go to EMP twice a week, you know, or I'll go to pre-service prayer once a month, or I'll do this and I'll do that. But just have patience with me. You know, I can do better. And the truth, the reality of it is that we can't. You can't do any better. Not on your own strength, at least. And I think what God was saying as I was reading this is, you know, you really have to examine your heart. Like, when you approach God, when you go to him in prayer, what is your attitude? What is your, how do you plead with him? What do you say? You go, have patience with me, Lord, or help me do this, or help me do this, or help me be better in some way. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but really this idea of have patience with me and I will repay you everything is the wrong attitude. Because what really should be our mindset when we approach God, when we ask him for forgiveness, is actually found in verse 33. When the king says to the slave, should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? The basis of forgiveness when we go to God isn't, you know, I can do it, just give me more time. Is, Lord, I can't do it. No, I don't have any more time. Have mercy, God. Have mercy on me. And when we ask of him, when we ask him to have mercy, to not give to us what we do deserve, that's when his heart turns toward us and says, you know, I will forgive you because I am merciful and I will have mercy on you. And so that's what the slave gets. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. So 150 years worth of credit, all gone, destroyed. Then in verse 28, but that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized them and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. 100 denarii, one denarii is one day's wages. So 100, so 3 months' salary, approximately, give or take, maybe four, depending on how long your work week is. But if you think about it, why did the slave go out and react in such a manner? Why did he have to? It's not that he went out and demanded of his fellow slave to pay him back, but he went, seized him, and began to choke him. Like, literally throttle him. Like, pay me back what you owe, or else, you know, I'm gonna get my pound of flesh. And this fellow slave, you know, has the same reaction. Have patience with me and I will repay you. But I really want to focus on the first slave's reaction when he says, pay back what you owe, and he's really angry, really violent. There's a lot of times when we get forgiven with something, or this really highlights our issues with forgiveness, how we all struggle with forgiveness. Amen? Right? Anyone that says, you know, I'm okay with forgiveness, it's just, you know, you just haven't had the right opportunity for you to see that you struggle with forgiveness. Because I can tell you from my own experience, right, and I'm sure many of you will resonate with this, you know, we receive forgiveness and then, you know, it could be 1 week later, 3 days later, an hour later, we go back and turn around and say like, nah, this person isn't worth forgiving. I'm going to continue down my list of things or continue building my list of things that I could say to this person, that I could do this to this person to get them back for the same way that they got me, to hurt them in the same way that they've hurt me. And the thing is, a lot of times we don't realize that we're even doing this. We don't realize that we're not forgiving who we need to forgive after receiving forgiveness ourselves. Yeah. And I think it's interesting how the slave that was reacted so strongly, and I think this speaks to the spiritual, the spiritual warfare aspect of forgiveness, because Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God and how the kingdom of God is based on forgiveness, and if we don't exhibit forgiveness in the same way we've been forgiven, you know, then it's very difficult for us to, experience the fullness of the kingdom of God. Because, you know, for us as Christians, we believe and, you know, we are accepted. We have received salvation. And, you know, it's not that saying, if you don't forgive someone, even if you're a Christian, doesn't mean that you won't go to heaven or you don't receive salvation. But it's very difficult for us to experience the fullness of salvation or to really be free. Because I guarantee you, if you have someone that you haven't forgiven and you see them on a regular basis, you're not living life to the fullest. Like there's something in you where you avoid that person. You avoid, you know, if it's someone at work, you avoid that person's desk, or if you have to send an email to that person, you're very curt. You're like, oh man, I don't want to send this email. Or if worse is if you have to ask that person to help you do something, and you know there's already, you know, and they know that there's like bad blood between you two, but you got to maintain professional and like, man, if I send this email, then that means like they're going to have one up on me, or they might deny my request and like make life difficult and this and that. And already you spent 10 minutes deciding whether or not to hit that send button, right? that's 10 minutes of your time that you already lost, that you could be doing something else, that in your heart you're gripped with fear or whatever it is. And you're not experiencing life as how God wants you to experience, because there's just unforgiveness, because we can't deal, we don't want to deal with these issues. So we come to the end. You know, the king is telling the slave, should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And when God has mercy on us, you know, when we really experience that, that should change our hearts. And that should change our lives, radically transform our lives, so that we exhibit that same behavior. We exhibit that same heart towards people. And at the very end, Jesus goes, my heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each one of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. And this is where the heart, we all know what that means. It's, you know, it's not just our physical heart, but our desires. And really, that is what Jesus is talking about. Really, truly, deeply inside, at the very core of your being, are you able to forgive that person? You know, are you able to somehow let go? Are you able to take what you have received and exhibit, manifest that to other people? And so that's, as Monica comes up to do worship, that's one thing that I feel like God wants us to, you know, just meditate over today. You know, there's no magic formula to forgiving people. It's just a matter of doing it. And you know, in times where it is difficult to do it, in times where it is hard to let go of whatever has been done to you, that hurt has been caused, to let go of, man, I need to do something, at least even just a tiny bit, little thing, to let go of that and to ask God, oh, Lord, give me the strength. Help me forgive. Help me see, even in my life, where I do the same things or I don't. Help me see where, you know, I go out and I disregard God's forgiveness of me and I demand other people pay back what is owed to me. So as we pray, just really let God's word sink into your hearts and reveal, you know, to you things in your life that, you know, you're struggling to forgive, or people that you're struggling to forgive.
His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus, we cry.
God, may you have mercy on us, God. Have mercy on our lives, Lord, and for all the times that we struggle to forgive, even now, Lord. Have mercy on us, God, and give us a strength. Give us a strength to let go and to understand that vengeance is yours, God. That it's not up to us to make sure that others pay for what they have done, even if we think it's coming from other people and not us directly. May we just lift up those, God, who have harmed us, who have wronged us, God, to pray for your favor upon them, for your blessing upon them, God, and to really just pray for your grace upon them, Lord. So God, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for you forgiving us, Lord. And we just pray, God, that deep in our hearts, Lord, we receive that word, God, that it transforms us, that it changes us in the innermost being in our hearts, so that we too can forgive, so that we can live a life where forgiveness is manifested, Lord. Let's pray for those in our community that are that have cancer and undergoing chemo and radiation therapy and other surgeries. In our community who are sick and have yet to receive Christ. Thank you. pray for those in our community with various infirmities. Pray for those in a community looking for jobs. Pray for God to open doors and just present opportunities for our brothers and sisters. Let's pray for Hong Kong today. Let's pray for our government and that they'll rule well and that they just rule righteously. Let's pray for the wealth gap in Hong Kong. Let's also pray for revival, not just in the churches, but everywhere in Hong Kong. Let's pray for the ministries that we partner with and support, Sports Service International, Master's Beauty, Sons and Daughters, CSW, Mother's Choice, Hong Kong Korean Church. Let's also pray for the Hong Kong students, all the domestic helpers and families that are in distress, as well as their children. Let's pray for God's protection over everyone in Hong Kong. Pray for the staff. Keep them in your prayers. Actually, a few of them are sick. Pastor Mary is not feeling well, as well as Rachel. Just pray for God's healing over them. And just as a staff as a whole, that we'll be faithful in our work for God's house and just for all our families. Pray for the hospitality ministry. Let's pray that all our guests, newcomers, even regular members, the ones that have been coming for a long time, just really feel at home in this house, and that they feel welcome, and that the teams, the hospitality teams, just help them come and enjoy the presence of God. Pray for the worship and sound and AV teams. Let's really pray for a heart of worship for all our servants on these teams, and that they just do an amazing job prepping themselves, both physically and spiritually, to lead our house into worship. Pray for our house churches tonight, First Street, Fontana, Garden, Hopewell, Kowloon, OPR, Soho, and Westville. Let's pray for a great time of discussion and a good time of ministry, fellowship, community. Let's pray for God and Holy Spirit to move in our house churches tonight. God, we thank you again, Lord, for your forgiveness. We thank you for your great mercy and your grace on us, God. Even when we didn't deserve it, God, even when there's no way of us repaying, Lord, our debt, you still forgave, Lord, that you wiped our slate clean so that we can live free, God, that we may have salvation, Lord. So, God, help us internalize that. Help us live that out, God. May that become more than an intellectual concept for us. That we truly experience your mercy, Lord. And from that, may our lives flow from that point. We thank you, God. Be with us today. Be with us in our work days, God. And help us be a light to those around us, God. Help us be a light in the darkness, Father. We thank you. We love you. In your Son's most precious name we pray. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.